Are you ready for this, Cards fans? Llewellyn's Summer Sweeps is officially in full swing. Now through Labor Day, come into any Llewellyn's location, order the special of the day for your chance to win a trip for two to Cardinal Spring Training with Inside STL and 12 other amazing prizes. The more you go, the more chances to win. Visit llewellynspub.com for more details or follow them on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for updates. With tons of TVs and patios at almost all their locations, Llewellyn's Pub should be your place for games this summer. So go watch, eat, and enter to win.
Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Good morning, St. Louis. Welcome into the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on CBS Sports 920, InsideSTL.com, and 105.7 HD2. I am Charlie Marlowe, filling in for the local broadcast hero, Tim McKernan. We've got Doug Vaughn, and Doug, to your left, is Jay Jr.
I saw him sitting over there. Hello, Jay.
How are you, Doug? I've missed you. You look even better than you did last time.
Why would you say that? I've gotten older.
Well, I think you're just you're getting better with age, like a fine wine.
I would agree with that. You do look better.
Not that you looked
poor before. You look very vibrant this morning.
You look good. Maybe it's the weather.
I'm guessing it's because of a huge 5-1 Cardinals victory to prevent the sweep at the hands of the Buccos.
Well, that certainly helped my demeanor.
And it was a fun post game, Doug, as myself. You were there, and Kat were there, all holding the Cardinals accountable.
Really?
After the victory.
Yep. I mean, we really held their
feet to
the fire.
I'm sure Kat really got into it.
Several of them left in tears, the players I'm talking about. We just won, and you yelled at us.
Yesterday, I mean, you play 162, and I know they're all the same. But I just had a sense that if they'd have lost yesterday, it would not have been a real happy flight to Milwaukee.
No. Yeah, I thought that was a big win, too. You can't get swept 4 in a row by the team you're competing with for one of the wild card spots. You can't do that.
And Wainwright came through. I mean, that's what you want your horse to do, and he did.
Don't say horse.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he looks like he's all the way back. That's as good as he ever is there. 7 innings, 1 run, 9 strikeouts. I mean, you can't ask for any more than that from anybody.
So let me ask you this, then. In a one-game wild card playoff, because a few years ago, everyone would say Waino 100%. He's your guy. Is it Waino? Is it Carlos Martinez? Is it an argument? Do you go with Waino because he has the pedigree and he's been there before, even though Carlos Martinez, his numbers are better, and he probably has a bit better stuff at this point, you would think?
Right at this moment, I think I would go with Wainwright. I wouldn't have said that 3 weeks ago, but I would say that now, just because he has been there, done that, and you got to think that he's not going to feel the pressure quite as much as Martinez. Martinez might go out and throw a no-hitter for you, or he might not get through the second inning in a big game like that. Now, clearly, he's been the best pitcher they've had all year. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I think the one thing, it probably is harder for a batter to try and hit a foul ball off Martinez.
None of them try to hit foul balls.
You don't think?
No, okay. Of course not.
Doug, 8 o'clock, we've got Ben Fredrickson from the Post-Dispatch and the Writer's Block talking Cardinals and really anything you want to discuss on the local and national sports scene. 8:30, the Lakeside Roofing Exit Poll. 9:40, the Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week. And I saw on the fan page yesterday, I know that Sea
already
Monster,
promoting it.
Yeah, he doesn't like to talk, so I don't know if he's going to speak about it. But Sea Monster, you can, I guess, nod your head. You said the longest cuts of the week in the history of the Morning After. Is that true?
Well, I don't know about the history, but definitely in my tenure. Usually they're around 3 to 3.5 minutes. This week's edition clocking in at almost 5 minutes.
Mm. Wow.
Why don't we make it like 55 minutes and we can take an hour off?
That's a good play, Doug.
There's just not enough good stuff
happens
on the show.
Okay.
Right, Doug.
I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to the Lakeside Roofing Exit Poll, because 2 times ago when I was in, Sea Monster had just a horrific day. It was just awful. But then last time I was in for a Friday, he ratcheted it up, and I'm looking forward to that exit poll today because it really gets the people ready for the weekend.
You know, Sea Monster, the last time I was in, and I can never even remember who else was on the show. I can barely remember what happened yesterday. But I feel like the Lakeside Roofing exit poll lasted a full hour. And I'm wondering if you strategically put it in there at 8:30 so that we wouldn't do that again because we'd have to break before the 9 o'clock hour.
I believe that was last Friday, Chuck. That it was you, the cat, and Doug. I actually was working around Ben Fred's schedule. He's got meetings later in the morning, so he needed to go at 8. But the good thing is we could always maybe do half the exit poll, take the 9 o'clock break, and then complete it on the other side in the Tease Farms 9 o'clock hour.
Nice. Well done there. Yeah. The text line, let's see, our text of the day prize, a $50 gift certificate to Remy's Kitchen and Wine Bar or Big Sky Cafe, because Clayton Restaurant Week starts this Monday, this next Monday, guys. 15 fine dining restaurants are offering three courses for only $25 or $35 through Sunday, July 17th. CRW, Clayton Restaurant Week, will benefit Operation Food Search. More info, check them out at www.claytonrestaurantweek.com. And Doug, the email of the day, you always love the emails.
Well, not really.
It's a free movie pass to Werenberg Theaters.
Whoa, Werenberg. Oh, that's a nice treat.
Here's a nice treat.
What?
Smegma.
What?
Texting in, saying a C team again today. You guys really suck.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, Tim does need his time off, and Kat does other stuff, so sorry, Smegma.
The old mud boot also texting in, please tell me that with Junior in today, Doug wore flip-flops into the studio, you know, to show him what he might get later at Hot Shots. I actually did wear flip-flops, and yeah, so did Junior.
I did too, yeah. There has been a discussion on the program about the potential of me nuzzling up to Doug's tootsies.
Mm-hmm. You have no interest in that.
Well, maybe somebody with a real fetish might, but as you know, I don't have a fetish.
No.
It's a fondness. I stay away from the males, even with the potential of donations, and the guy that broached it on the fan page has now turned it around to raise money for something else, a good cause.
Sure.
Yes.
So that good cause was going to be my wallet.
Right. I understand that.
That's what the good cause was going to be.
Better cause for that. And we will. I know that Plowsy and Iggy and hopefully Anna Marie are working on some talent for the 28th
right
at Hot Shots Manchester.
You can only take this so far. And that was over the border. That was over
the line. That was too much. That was too much. Even for you to make $1,000.
It just came up. Somebody asked a stupid question.
Not on this show.
Yeah, on this very program.
What?
Would I be the foot fetish model
right
for $1,000? And I said, of course. You're asking me, would I take my shoe off for $1,000? The answer is yes. Yes, I would.
But how much would you let Jay do to your foot for $1,000?
Pretty much anything.
Really?
Well, of course, for a grand.
How do I care? It's a foot.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Doug, another text coming in asking you what you thought of Tyler Glasnow's downward plane yesterday. He's 6'8".
Well, there's only one guy who has a downward plane, and that's Michael Walker.
That's what I said.
You have to come up with something else, some other way to describe Tyler Glasnow. Long and lanky.
Mm-hmm.
You would think, though, 6'8", that he would also have a downward plane.
Well, there are other people, other pitchers, almost that tall. Maybe he's the tallest now, but there are others very close to that height. But they don't have a downward plane.
Michael Walker
has the downward plane. All others just throw.
Wainwright not throwing yesterday. He was pitching, Doug. 7 innings, 1 earned run, only allowing 5 hits, 9 punchouts. Throws 114 pitches. Improves to 8-5 on the season. I would say he was setting the tone.
Okay.
What would you say?
I wouldn't say setting the tone.
What would you call it?
Yeah, what would you say?
I would say he kind of set the pace.
So you just changed it up just a little
tone,
there.
Yeah, I wouldn't say tone. I'd say pace. That was kind of the team that the Cardinals thought they would have this year, kind of a microcosm of what they thought they would have is really good starting pitching, clean defense, no errors, Piscotty and Grichuk providing some power, and they win. That's kind of who we thought the Cardinals were going to be. That isn't who they have been for most part of the year. But when they play that way, it's pretty effective. Obviously, you hold the other team to one run, you're going to be effective, but it does look like maybe Grichuk is back, that maybe he found something.
No doubt.
He's got, four hits in the two games that he's been back starting?
And again, you're very happy about that because, A, you're a Cardinals fan, but maybe even more importantly, you scooped him up on waivers in our fantasy league, and you need some offense.
Well, I can always use offense, but I lived with him for like 2.5 months, and he did next to nothing. So finally, I had to cut him. But then
well, you cut
back,
him.
But then when he came back, when he was a minor, yeah. I cut him. Yeah, he was no good in the minor.
Right.
I picked him up quickly, and he's done well.
Okay.
But my club's going nowhere. Due mostly to malware and computer issues.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And your opposition to making any trade, even if it benefits your club.
No, I'll make a trade if it benefits my club.
I know you get offered a lot, but you don't seem to make money.
I don't get offered much. Oh. Usually it's somebody wanting my superstar player for two or three other players just like what I already have.
I see.
It's funny you mention that because I was sitting next to Doug for a couple innings yesterday at the game.
Well, that's nice.
We're talking fantasy baseball, and he brings up Plowsy. And Plowsy, you're the Plow Brewer today. Is that correct?
Whatever you want to call me, bud.
And Doug was telling me that, he offered you Kendrys Morales and Jake Arrieta for Paul Goldschmidt and Juris Familia. And I said, I don't know if that's necessarily fair for Plowsy because Morales has only been hot the last, 2 weeks.
Well, and Familia
has been a great player throughout the whole year.
And I only have two closers, Dave Robertson from the White Sox. Doesn't get many saves, had a great start to the season. Familia been hot. And Paul Goldschmidt's on a tear. And Arrieta's struggling, though. Has, I think, a 4.31 ERA in his last five starts, something like that. So, just questions and concerns. I didn't find it to be a slap-in-the-face trade. But I also have a co-manager named Mace Dog. You also know him as Mason.
Right.
So, we both have to agree and understand that the trade is good for both parties. And I just didn't see it, Doug.
I wasn't complaining. I just threw it out there. I thought it looked like, you needed some starting pitching and the hottest hitter in the major leagues. That's what I was offering.
But what you're trying to do is, and this is what I was talking about, you're trying to spin Kendrys Morales' best 2 weeks in his entire life, which we all know is going to end at any minute, into the fact that he's some big asset right now.
Well, you buy low and you sell high. He did drive in 100 runs last year and hit 22 homers. It's not exactly
Agreed.
A schlepper.
But the first 3 months of this season, he was pretty much a waiver caliber player.
Well, so is Giancarlo Stanton, but he isn't now. By the end of the year, most guys hit what they're supposed to hit.
But Giancarlo Stanton at least has, 18, 19 home runs? I know his batting average
is very low. Because he got half of those in the last 2 weeks.
Right, but he's been hitting for a low batting average all year, but he's had good power all season.
Before it's over, Morales will hit 280 or 290, and he'll have close to 20 home runs.
Is he on your team?
Well, sure he is, yeah. And he's available, Jay.
But currently the gurus have more the gurus have more home runs than the carpet munchers do RBIs. So that's the guy in second place right now, and the gurus are dominating. So I don't think I need to help my club anymore.
I will say this. Doug sounds, and believe me, we all do it. Doug sounds very much like me trying to sell people on Mike Napoli. Which I've been trying to do all
best
season.
Catcher, best hitting catcher in the league, right, Chuck?
Well, he's not catcher eligible anymore. But he does hit about 235, 242.
So why wouldn't you want
with a lot of power?
And you, and you send out emails saying, hey, you guys should try to help your depth. Why don't you help your depth? Don't give me three of your depth players for my superstar. I don't need depth. I need players who play every day.
Mike Napoli, I start him every single day. He's like he's ranked in the top 100 of all fantasy players. Okay. It's not like he's
hitting
a total bump.
So are 100
no, I mean,
other
he
people.
Hits, he hits, I think he's hitting 240,
but he
has about 18 bombs, has a ton of RBIs, scores a ton of runs because he walks all the time.
Sounds like you need to keep him.
Yeah.
I don't really want him that much.
You sound like you're
but
very
But I do start him every single day.
Okay, well, I guess that means I ought to give you Nolan Arenado if you start Napoli every day.
I threw Kyle Seager in there.
All right.
We'll take your text on fantasy baseball. Getting a lot of pictures of Soon Won Oh. Looks like he was in a GQ magazine where he's kind of dressed pretty snazzy there, Doug?
Yeah. I'm not sure he's been in a GQ magazine, but maybe.
It might have been
Far East GQ.
A Korean or Japanese version of
I don't get that anymore.
Of the magazine.
Are you surprised that it's a big deal, like in South Korea, that he's playing here? I mean, when an American player goes and plays soccer in Europe or they go and play baseball, so we don't care.
No.
We don't care at all.
You would think by now the novelty would wear off. Or now, granted, you know, I'm not exactly up on the Far East as much as I should be, But you would think by now, okay, we got a guy playing in America. Good.
Yeah.
Not celebrations and throwing stuff in the air.
And constant
that.
Media coverage around the world.
They got a lot of media.
I guess.
A lot of media.
And you wouldn't think that they would even care what goes on in American baseball.
You wouldn't think.
I mean, we don't even know that there was a Korean league until this guy came over here.
Oh, the KBO? Come on.
Come on.
Come on, Doug.
Why would they care about what happens here?
That is a great point that Doug makes. I mean, is it that they revere us so much?
Although I will say this, there are more Americans getting into European soccer.
There are, absolutely. We've seen some of those local guys here in town.
Yeah.
It always does.
Not just playing, but I mean the fan base.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
It always does fascinate me, especially when you work in the media, like we all do in some way, shape, or form, and you see in recent years in the United States, certainly, and I don't know how it is globally, but I would guess it's the same, with staffs being cut and people having to do more and certainly less resources, where you see people who are doing everything and, you know, shooting their own video and editing and also appearing on air and all that. It always does kind of make you chuckle a bit, because it seems like if any major league team has one Japanese player or one Korean player, it's like they have their own little media contingent for every game. It doesn't matter if you're a Brewers player or a Cardinals player. I mean, you've seen now there's a couple photographers, Asian photographers that you didn't see the past couple years that are here now, and it seems like it's just for Sun Wan-O. That always surprises me that a media outlet in a different country would put all those resources forth to follow one baseball player.
I wonder if they're freelancers who get contacted by a media outlet there and say, hey, you live in the United States anyway, why don't you cover this guy for us and we'll pay you on a daily basis? Or if it's actually a newspaper or a television network that sends somebody over here to cover a guy who might not even play four games out of five.
You haven't struck up a friendship with any of these other media members?
No,
maybe
I should. It'd be interesting to find out. Otherwise, it'd be a pretty cool job, isn't it? If your TV station said, why don't you go to Europe somewhere and follow around one American player and...
No question.
See the world that way?
I mean, what if they did that with Taylor Twellman when he went over
there?
Yeah,
I would have volunteered for the duty.
Yeah.
Doug, listen to this. How about this? A today-only sale at Gateway Buick GMC. Today only.
What do they got?
Gateway Buick GMC is offering 25% off MSRP on select vehicles. This is a huge deal, and you could enjoy massive savings. That's 25% off MSRP on select vehicles.
Wow.
Gateway Buick GMC at I-270 and McDonald Boulevard in Hazelwood. Again, that is 25% off MSRP on select vehicles today only. Check them out online at www.stlouisbuickgmc.com. So, Doug, 25% off, but you have to act today. You have to make the decision quickly.
Hopefully you're not pressed for time.
So, I'm always pressed for time, but that's, the price of cars today, 25% off, that's a lot of money off.
Don Davis must, I need to talk to Don. I mean, that's a lot of money
off.
Feeling
very generous today.
Yes.
Cardinals now, boys, 44-41 on the season, still 8 games back of the Cubs, but they jump back ahead of Pittsburgh, who had overtaken them a little bit there after the Pirates took the first 3 of the series. So Pittsburgh, 8.5 games back. They're 44-42 on the year. Got a little battle for second place going down.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be a struggle for the Cardinals to stay there with Carpenter out. But I really like Greg Garcia.
Good.
He really looks like a nice player.
Okay.
He really is. I think he's a guy who's got that label of, well, this is kind of a guy who's in the middle of AAA in the majors. I don't know if he's going to stick. I don't know how much we can play him. And when they play him, he produces. He's hitting .344, and he's played a significant amount this year. You know, at some point, when do you say, well, okay, we're going to have to change the label. This really is a guy worthy of playing every day. He's certainly going to get a chance, I think.
I think he's already changed the label a bit, where the last year and a half, you said, okay, he's the emergency guy that's going to come up from Memphis and go back whenever there's an injury. And we saw earlier in the year when, you know, he stayed up because he was playing so well. It seems like every time he goes in there, he plays really good defense, makes some great plays. He's a very good pinch hitter. And here's where he's really going to have an opportunity, because with Matt Carpenter out, he's on the 15-day disabled list. And Carpenter's only been on the DL one other time in his career. That was 2012 for the exact same, I shouldn't say the exact same, but it was a right oblique strain. We don't know the severity if it's different this time around. But if Matt Carpenter is going to be out for 2 weeks and potentially up to a month, you would think Greg Garcia is going to play a whole lot more. And maybe, Doug, that's where he can even change the script again. Although I think we're going to see Colton Wong taking second base back over. But certainly there's a lot of opportunity for Greg Garcia as well.
I guess. And you look at Wong, who's got the reputation of this is going to be a really good everyday second baseman. He's hitting .237. With one home run. I mean, Garcia has more home runs than Wong and the same number of RBIs in 100 fewer at-bats. So at what point do you say, well, you know, maybe we're not right about this guy and maybe we've been wrong about that guy too? I mean, how long does the season go on before you change your mind and say, well, okay, it's no longer such a small sample size. We got to go with the guy who actually produces.
Legit question. You wonder about Colton Wong. I mean, how long until, like you said, do they make that assessment that what's best for the ball club?
I'm sure they'll go a long way with, especially now with the injury situation.
Yeah, the bull club. I apologize.
Yeah, they'll go a long way with him right now. Right. But I think a lot of that has to do with the was a 5-year, $25 million contract.
$5 million a year.
Don't want to eat that. They're going to give him every chance.
Let's listen to some fun with audio Cardinals edition. Courtesy of Fox Sports Midwest. Let's start with the skipper talking about the great outing from Adam Wainwright yesterday.
Hit the lever.
Impressive. We needed get on a good, positive roll. But Adam's such a quality pitcher, and I thought he did a nice job today. He established his fastball a little better. He was good with the cutter and took some off, put a little horizontal break at times, even onto his curveball. And he was really manipulating the ball in the strike zone well today.
There you go, Doug.
He manipulated.
Manipulating and horizontal. Well. Yeah.
You know, is Wainwright in the Cardinals' all-time top five starting rotation? He'd be real close, I think.
Who's in there? Obviously, Gibby.
Gibson, yep. Dizzy Dean.
Let me ask you this question. Do you put Waino over Chris Carpenter?
I was just going to say, is Chris Carpenter in there?
I think he probably is.
Yeah.
I think what Carpenter did in 2011, where he basically just owned the entire postseason and threw what? I think he threw a combined 270-ish innings over the course of that entire year, including the playoffs.
Too, man.
And then the fact, I know this is kind of a cowboy-esque type story, but Carpenter literally kind of left everything on the field that season to the point where the Cardinals win the World Series, and he was never the same pitcher again after that physically.
Yeah. I guess you'd probably have to put Jesse Haynes in there.
Oh, sure. And who's that?
He goes back to the 20s and 30s. He won 210 games for the Cardinals, 20-game winner three times.
In 1897?
No, the 1920s and 30s when the offensive numbers were way up. He was one of the better pitchers going. I guess if you're going to respect history, he would probably be in there.
I'm going to throw a name at you, Doug, and probably based on his stuff, you might say no, but he's, I believe, third on the all-time win list for the Cardinals, right behind your buddy Jesse Haynes, Bob Forsh.
Yeah. I think Forsh would be a borderline guy.
Borderline, in that five, 6 yeah. to 10. Yep. Yeah. I think Carpenter's got to be on there, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he is. And you talk about a guy who really lost some of the prime years of his career with injury. He might be a Hall of Famer if he hadn't lost so much time to injuries.
But you don't hear enough about Jesse Haynes.
I'd never heard of him. It is surprising, though, with the Cardinals Hall of Fame, and on the broadcast, they're always talking about great Cardinals. I've never heard of that pitcher.
And you don't hear much about Rogers Hornsby either.
But you've heard of Rogers
Hornsby. You've heard of him, but they don't make a big deal out of him very often. A lot of people, you'd have to be a pretty good fan to know much about Rogers Hornsby, and he's probably one of the top 10 players in the history of the
all
game.
All time. Yep.
Probably a lot of people.
The best right-handed hitter ever.
Yeah. A lot of people texting in about Tudor.
Yeah.
A lot of people saying, and I don't have the exact numbers, but a lot of texters quoting numbers about how Wong has been much better since he's been called up. And also somebody suggesting Justin Masterson for one of the best Cardinals
I wouldn't
pitchers of all time.
You know, he won a couple games.
You had that big trade It was the Indians, right, Doug? Who did the Cardinals send to the Indians?
They sent another ball player.
Another ball player.
Yeah. We got a ball player, and they got a ball player.
Well, I think we sent a ball player, and they sent us a hurler.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember who we traded for Justin Masters, but he'd had a couple big years with the Indians. When they got him, it looked like, oh, good, there's a useful guy to have.
And I'll look it up. What was funny to me was after that season where he clearly struggled for the Cardinals, I remember him having one good start where he got a win for them down the stretch, but other than that, it was pretty bad, and I believe he was left off the postseason roster. But he got a pretty nice deal after that. I'll look it up. But I remember him getting paid a decent amount after that year, which just makes
you
think. Justin Masterson.
If you can just get a gig as a starting pitcher in the major league,
you're set.
You, generations of your family are set for life.
But how about being an NBA just bench guy now? I'm reading this article the other day where the NBA salary cap goes up, I believe it's 34%. I mean, think about that. That's enormous. For the cap to go up 34%. So in a way, everybody's going to get about a third of a raise. And Bradley Beal signs a 5-year deal for $128 million. And that dude's 23 years old.
Yeah.
So 5 years from now, he's still going to be in his prime. He's going to be 27, 28. What's the cap going to be then? And that dude's going to probably make close to $300 million in the NBA.
I mean, how does it happen? God love Brad Beal, but, I mean, are things a little out of whack?
TV ratings were very good this year. You know, they've got some superstars in the league.
How many times you sit down and watch an NBA game?
Well, we're a little different because we don't have a team here in a major market, so I don't have a team to root for, so I don't watch it much, but they sure watch it in New York and Chicago and L.A. and the markets that really count.
I
sure watch it there.
A couple of young people I work with out at Normandy, I mean, they're just yapping about the deals that are going on the last couple of days. I'm looking at them. I don't know any of these cats.
Yeah, we don't care. It just gets down for me, and I think for a lot of people, we don't have a team.
Yeah.
So do you think Kevin Durant going to the Warriors, is it good for the league? Is it bad for the league?
For the league in general, it's probably good because you're going to have a superstar team in the fifth largest market in the country.
But you already had a superstar team.
Yeah.
Okay? I think it's bad.
It set the record in wins.
I was half joking by bringing it up, but I actually think it's bad because I think the finals is now even more of a foregone conclusion. Both of these teams, the Cavs and Warriors, made
it
the last couple of years. The Cavs have zero challenge in the East. Now, if Durant would have went to the Celtics, maybe that makes things interesting. The Warriors, now, after making it the last 2 years, you'd have to deal with the Spurs. You would have had to deal with the Thunder
if
Durant was there.
Yeah.
And now it seems like a cakewalk for both of them.
You could argue that it's probably better for the league when you have superstar teams, like those Laker teams that were in it every year. That was good for the league. Other teams weren't winning, but it was good that you had two or three superstars together. When LeBron went to Miami, you had three stars of the league together. They won at a time or two. It was pretty good for the league, high profile. Not so good if you're one of the other teams with a limited chance to win. But when you get dynasties like that, in general, it tends to bring awareness.
But that's the other thing. Chuck's right. I mean, you start off the season and you got 24, 25 teams that probably got no shot. I mean, no shot.
I don't know.
And the movement from these guys from elite teams to another elite team is what's.
But it sure wouldn't be fair to any players to say, huh, you're too good. You can't go to a good team. You got to go to a lousy team because you're so good. I mean, that's never going
to
happen.
Right. But the difference is, and I agree with this to a certain extent, is when you compare it to the good old days, and I don't like when the curmudgeon-y player always says, oh, you know, players nowadays, it's not the same. But it really isn't.
No.
Because even if you go back to the 80s, there's no way Isaiah Thomas is going to join up with Michael Jordan if Jordan can't beat the bad boys or vice versa, there's no way they're going to join up.
Right. They're going to
compete like hell to beat each other, or it's not going to happen.
Well,
nowadays,
I don't think the league would let it happen either. I mean, some of the stuff that was – I mean, this is – I mean, hey, we'll take the best player off the team that was the second best team in the West, and we'll send him to the team that was – he'll play on the best team in the West.
Right.
How quickly Doug gives up on our Pelicans. Our team, Doug, our Pels.
Frankly, I couldn't give you a single player on the Pelicans.
Anthony Davis.
Couldn't.
Who's their coach?
Oh, hell, I don't know. Is Red Arbaugh still in the league?
Is he the good young coach, or is he the veteran coach, Doug?
I don't have a clue who's coaching.
Chuck Daly might have taken that
job. I just don't.
Come on, guys. This sounds more like 101. Too many hot takes.
Uh-oh.
What should we talk about? This is a little more morning after-ish. I have more fun with audio. I have more baseball audio.
I'll ask a question. I stayed up late last night because I watched this disaster down in Dallas. I don't know whether or not I am lucky to not feel the need to own a gun for my own protection. Am I missing something? Should I have a gun for my own protection? I've lived 47 years in this country. 43 of them in this town. I've never felt the need to have a gun.
I think it depends on where you live. If you live where I live and where you live, where I think where you used to live, you don't need a gun.
Right.
Your neighbors aren't going to storm into your house and start shooting.
Okay.
And chances are a domestic terrorist isn't going to do that to you either. If you live in other parts of the in the city, you better have a gun.
What I heard,
because everybody else does.
I heard somebody last night, and I don't want to get. I'm just throwing that out. I don't want to get into the gun debate, but I heard somebody say last night. Now there will be less people, and I'm going to use the term protest, but I think the better way of putting it is gathering or organizing. There'll be less of this because of the potential of what could happen based on what happened last night in Dallas.
Probably. I hope so.
Let me ask you this question, Doug. I think we would all agree that things for African-American people were a lot worse in 1963, 64, and 65 than they are today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How come there weren't mass shootings of police in 63, 64, 65?
I don't know.
I don't either.
For a mass shooting, it only takes one or two morons
to do it.
Yeah. I think it's important to keep in mind that this is not hundreds or thousands of people out there shooting police. It's just a couple people.
Correct.
Who are acting like complete idiots.
Yeah.
And it's the same with the police.
Yeah.
It's not all the policemen
on the other
that
side.
That are trigger happy, ready to shoot.
Do we blow it too much out of proportion, both sides?
I don't think you can blow out of proportion what we've seen the last two or three days, honestly. And like Doug said, on both sides, and look, they're all tragedies. And last night watching that is a huge tragedy, and admitting that and acknowledging that, I think reasonable people, they see what's happened last night and a couple days before. And they're generally mortified by all of it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you should be.
Yep.
You absolutely should be, because some of the things that we've seen and heard about, it really is. Last night, you know, we got to get up at, 6 o'clock to do this show. And I was up till 2 in the morning almost. You're just watching that.
Yep.
And it's unbelievable. Except for the fact that when I say it's unbelievable, in this
it's
day and age, it's
more
not.
Believable.
It's not because...
Yeah. Right.
We have been so desensitized to any type of shooting. And I'm not trying to compare, but if it's a mass shooting, if it's a terrorist attack, if it's a police shooting,
sure.
We just see it so often.
That it doesn't have the same.
It's weird now, because think about it. Back in the day, if you had Columbine, for example,
right.
Everybody stops and everybody is glued to the television. Now, you still are, but it's different. I feel like if I walk into the gym on a random Tuesday, if you look up at the TV monitors, chances are it seems like half the time they're talking about a mass shooting. And sure, you stop for a second, you see where it was, you see what's going on, but it's part of life now.
Right.
That's what you're going to see on TV.
And unfortunately, it's becoming the norm, and that is really scary. Well, Chuck, that you said we're getting accustomed to it, that's unfortunate.
Mm. And we're not accepting it.
No.
But again, unfortunately, we've seen it so often that it's just a part of our daily news. It's part of life.
Yeah.
Did you see that the city of Chicago is on a pace for 2,000 shootings this year? There have been a little more than 300 murders already just in the city of Chicago. Everybody has a gun. And the police know that everybody has
right.
a gun.
So what?
If you're a policeman working the city of Chicago or St. Louis or Baton Rouge or St. Paul, Minnesota, and you come up on a scene, the police are scared for their lives.
Right.
The police are trying to do a job, trying to get home at the end of their shift, and when they get into a situation where they think, uh-oh, this might be me or him.
What do you do?
A lot of them, the ones who aren't really savvy, the ones who aren't really cool-headed, they shoot first thinking, well, it's going to be him and not me.
And to a certain extent, understandable.
Yeah. Yeah. I really think that's the genesis of it is the police are scared for their own lives.
How could you not be?
And sometimes they are totally inappropriate, as I think what we saw in St. Paul especially, and in Baton Rouge, totally inappropriate, but these guys are afraid for their own lives because everybody's got a gun and they don't know when that one of the bullets is going to have their name on it.
Clearly. Now we can talk about women.
Women.
That will be at the the July 28th foot fetish.
And feet. No, I'm glad you brought that up because I can't remember again who was on, but it was the Monday after the Orlando shooting. And obviously many more people died, but still a tragedy is a tragedy no matter how many people are killed. But yeah, you come in to do the show and we like to obviously yuck it up and have fun and joke around, but it is just odd. It kind of feels weird. Like I woke up this morning and first of all, I don't ever really want to do the show. I mean, I like it once I get here, but I don't like waking up to begin with early.
I mean, it's nice to wake up, but you don't want to wake up
right from here. But then when you wake up and you just know that we're talking about riffraff when there's some serious stuff going on that everybody's really thinking about.
Yep.
But on the other side of things, people want a break from that every once in a while, have a laugh. So hopefully, Doug's
laugh.
The funny guy. So
well, no
hopefully,
question. You really are the Jack Benny of
the
show.
I woke up at 4 o'clock. I think the ghost was back in my house today because I heard a loud bang in the bathroom closet.
Do you think the ghost made that kind of noise?
Well, I got up and I said, oh, what was that noise? What in the world was that?
Right.
So I staggered up at 4 o'clock, and a bottle of hairspray had fallen out of the bathroom closet onto the floor.
A bottle of hairspray?
You know, a can of aerosol.
Was this your hairspray, or was this somebody
I don't know
in the
if
family?
It was hairspray. It was,
because
it was just,
if it was yours, it could be worth something.
No, I don't think it was mine. But it just crashed onto the floor at 4 in the morning for no particular reason. How does that happen?
It could be a ghost.
How in the world does that happen?
It was sitting on a shelf.
I was asleep at the time.
Okay, but...
But it was loud enough that it fell to the floor and woke me up in a noise in the bathroom right next to...
What about Bandit?
Bandit was asleep on the foot of the bed.
So was this hairspray can on a flat surface?
No, it was on a shelf.
Angled shelf?
I think it was on the shelf that was on the door. You know, we have shelving that's attached to the inside of a door.
But probably was no real movement, and the thing just fell.
You wouldn't think so. That's why I said, I better get up and check and see what that noise was.
Right. You may want to have the place looked at.
All I could think of is there a small animal? Is there a mouse or something nudge that thing? Or how does that happen exactly? I'd like to know the physics behind how a can of hairspray can simply fall off a shelf in the middle of the night.
May I ask you, why do you have an aerosol can and why do you hate the environment?
Because I'm all about global warming.
Right.
Sometimes
you're pro.
Sometimes I'll go in the backyard and spray that aerosol to get a good ozone hole so my house is a little warmer than yours.
So you're pro-global warming.
I absolutely.
And you're not afraid to admit it.
No.
Good for you.
I like the warmer weather.
That's one of your planks.
It is. Yeah.
Your
political
planks.
If we have to move north, there's lots of room in Alaska. Montana, Canada's wide open for immigration there.
But think about this. What if one of your favorite cities...
Are you thinking about moving?
Well, if it gets to be 120 degrees here every day, it's that way in Arizona right now.
It sure is.
What if one of your favorite cities, a spot that you grew as a man and a broadcaster, what if years from now Miami is covered in water?
Water. Well, what you don't understand is the world revolves around my axis.
Okay.
Right.
And if I'm a little bit uncomfortable, that's all that really matters. I need to be warmer.
So you won't be bothered that much if like California falls off into the ocean because you're not in California, you're here.
Well, kind of. Yeah.
Okay.
But you like to visit California.
Well, I've been there time to time.
You like to visit Florida.
All I'm saying is I like the ozone hole open around my crib
for warmth.
That's exactly right. A little more sunshine. I'd like to say I'm all about greenhouse gases.
You're all about greenhouse gases.
Yeah.
But I do think
a little warmer.
What I do think is very funny about the whole climate change, global warming debate is how some people will react to one very hot day, a hot stretch, or one very cold or snowy stretch, and use that as a belief that it either is true or isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
Where I feel like, you know, in America, in the world, on the planet, you're kind of going to have some hot days. You're going to have some cold days. Right. Now, maybe there are more than others. But I always think it's funny when, like in St. Louis, if we have 7 inches of snow. See, they're talking global warming.
Where's that global warming?
We got all this snow.
Well, it's only like a 1 degree difference. But if it's 1 degree warmer than it normally is, that creates a whole lot of energy over the oceans. And if I'm not mistaken, we're on like 12 or 13 straight months where we've had record heat, where it's been the hottest month on record.
I didn't know you were studying this like that.
Well, I don't.
He's a climatologist.
I don't necessarily. People at the station, the meteorologist.
I don't necessarily blame the evil establishment, the evil business establishment, for making this happen.
Okay.
The Earth has always been in a state of change. At one point, we were like a frozen block of ice, and at another point, we were hot molten lava. It changes. We had an ice age here for a while.
Yes,
it caused some real issues for people.
Like what?
So
it wiped out some.
Yes, it carved out the Great Lakes. So to think that the Earth won't be changing is pretty naive. It's going to change. It always has.
But don't you think a lot of this has to do with human beings, though?
Maybe some of it.
And billions of people driving cars and working in factories all across the planet.
And going out in the backyard and spraying their
hairspray. Aerosol cans. Think about how much
just helps my little plot of land.
Right. Think about how much hairspray just the local TV industry uses on a daily basis.
If you think my
it might be just the TV industry that's caused this.
If my hairspray actually affects the Earth and its environment, I think that may be a little misguided.
Hey, Doug, Appliance Discounters, they have 6 locations, and they now are in the Metro East over in Fairview Heights. You can check them out online at theappliancediscounters.com. They have 6 Missouri and Illinois locations to serve you. Would you like for me to tell you where they are located specifically?
If you could, all 6 of them.
Baldwin, Missouri.
You know,
Webster
where that
Groves,
is.
Missouri.
Been there.
St. Charles, Mo.
I've been there.
Arnold, Missouri.
Been there.
St. Louis on Delore Street, 4701 Delore Street, to be exact.
I've been to St. Louis.
And as I mentioned, at the top of the read, Fairview Heights, Illinois.
I've been there, too. I am well-traveled in this region.
You sure are.
I've been to all 6 locations. Not specifically
the
store location, but the town proper.
Let's break those down. What was your favorite experience in Arnold?
Great.
Not just at an Appliance Discounters. By the way, they're at the Water Tower Place.
I guess 1207
Water Tower
That's
Place.
That's a great question you asked, Chuck.
Your best experience in Arnold.
Arnold, you don't hear that every day.
Is Fox High School in Arnold?
Yes.
Okay. I've been there.
I had a CYC basketball team won a tournament at Immaculate Conception there in Arnold once. I guess that would be my best Arnold experience.
Very nice.
Top that one.
Well.
Top that.
I can't. I got drunk at the Arnold Bowl, but that doesn't top what you did.
Arnold Bowl?
Yeah, the Arnold Bowling, the lane.
What were you doing there?
Iggy took me there for something, some charity event.
How's the house?
House is good. Lanes were not as oiled like the way I wanted them. I like them oiled a certain way.
Do you?
Now, why do you say the house?
That's what they say. That's what real bowlers say. Boy,
really?
I like this house.
I've never heard of that.
Yes.
And he's from bowling country.
They used to have, in Kirkwood, I grew up real close to Dick Weber Lane.
Sure.
It was like a 12-lane.
Yep.
You ever see that right there on Manchester?
Yes, indeed.
And as I got this job, I actually met Dick Weber once.
What a nice man.
Possibly have been like the nicest
guy
you'd ever meet.
The nicest guy in the world.
Superstar in his sport.
Yep.
A national celebrity during his day. And he was like the guy next door.
He was unbelievable. He really, Dick Weber. Yeah. I played golf with him one time. And I mean, he's the nicest cat in the world.
He really is.
And then there's Pete.
Yeah. In that case, the apple fell quite a bit from the tree, the acorn or whatever falls from the tree. But anyway, I said to Dick Weber, you know what? When I was a little kid, I used to always bowl at Dick Weber Lanes. And he said, really? You went to that house?
house.
I said, what? Yeah. That's what they call it.
The house.
Yeah.
Yeah, they call it the house. Like the track, you know, like the golf course.
Well, you should, I don't like
I know you don't like track.
Or a layout.
Yeah, layout's better than track.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we've settled it.
So do you have any nice experiences in Arnold, Chuck?
I said I've been to Fox High School a couple times.
Cover some stuff
back
out there.
In the day for a high school football game, maybe, for an athlete of the week.
But that was your best experience there?
Your best Webster Groves moment.
Webster Groves.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of good ones at the old building.
Right. I had a
Are
lot
we
of,
going back? I guess.
Not to the old building. Well, I don't know. Who knows what he's going to do?
I don't know.
The million-dollar baby's going to have to do something.
Yeah, I kind of lived in Shrewsbury.
That's what you're calling Tim
million-dollar
baby. Million-dollar
baby. I love that. I think I have a feeling that's going to stick.
Oh, I do, too. That's the first time I've heard it, but I like that a lot.
I have a feeling the text line and the emailers are going to grasp onto that one, as they should. That's well done. Mm-hmm. I used to live in Shrewsbury, Doug. That's right. That's right by Webster Groves.
Did you know the Shrewsbury butter squirrel?
I didn't.
That's a shame.
But Shrewsbury, it's that really, it's kind of a quick municipality.
Yeah, it's just like you're in, you're out.
I've always thought that was interesting about St. Louis, and maybe it's the same everywhere, but you're driving down Manchester, and I feel like every stoplight,
you go through another city.
You have a new municipality that has a very small population.
It's kind of quaint, and it gives everybody a neighborhood feel, but it's caused real problems.
I guess I live technically in, it goes like De Pere, Town and Country, Manchester, Mo, Baldwin.
Yeah.
I just thought Manchester was a street.
No.
It's a municipality.
It's got its own mayor and probably its own police. Yeah, we don't need
a lot of mayors in this town.
Gene McNary's plan of the 7 or 9 little boroughs, that makes all the sense in the world to me.
Right, so we'll never
combining the county and the city makes
all
the sense in the world.
Never happened.
Everybody's got their own little fiefdom, and the mayor of this town and the police chief of here, they don't want to give it up.
King of the castle.
Right, and it's led to problems with pulling people over for motor vehicle violations so that they can raise money
to
pay for City Hall for their little municipality. It just doesn't work very well.
End of the month, those lights start going on.
Wee. I know.
Got to get the budget.
Quota time.
Didn't mean to go there just to badmouth Shrewsbury, though.
No, that's a fine spot.
Like I said, I lived there for 4 years. Now I'm in Beewood.
There are some municipalities that are certainly big enough to support themselves.
Right.
Kirkwood, Clayton, Chesterfield, Florissant, big enough. But you get the tiny little ones, and they still have bills to pay and payrolls to meet, and those are the ones that need to pull you over for doing 36 miles an hour in a 35-mile-an-hour zone to pay some bills.
Correct.
I don't know if this is true. We haven't vetted it, but somebody texting in that STL has 95 munis, municipalities.
I mean, that's just silly.
Again, I don't know if that's true. But
well,
that's
something like that.
We're not going to check on either because we don't do that.
I'll look it up.
It's something like that.
Doug, we have some fun with audio. We have some more Cardinals hot takes. We're also going to talk with Ben Fredrickson in about 10 minutes about the Birds. So you want to hear some more Cardinals audio?
Sure.
Or also we have more random fun with audio as well.
Well, why don't we get the Cardinals done this hour and we'll go random the next hour.
All right. Let's go back to the skipper. Mike Matheny discussing Randall Grichuk since he's been called up and he had the big bomb yesterday. Mm. And also, Doug picked him up on his fantasy team.
Yes, I did. Hit the leaper plows, eh?
Nice to see just the quality of at-bats that Grichuk has taken. And you realize when he gets into a good rhythm and he's seeing the ball and he's establishing the strike zone, staying within it, and then the ball's going to jump. I think the ball up the middle was just as hard as the home run that he hit. So nice to see. And that's, like we said, we need somebody to step up. And we have all the ability here. It's not like we're asking some guys to play above their ability. We're just asking them to come in and take advantage of it and do what they do.
Mm-hmm. Do what they do, Doug.
You know, I like the fact that he's changed his batting stance back to a more normal look. When you see 98% of major league hitters stand up there about the same way, and then you see someone do it radically differently, he better be one of the best hitters in the league, or you have to think, well, maybe that's not the right way you ought to be approaching it. I mean, he had a really kind of a bizarre batting stance, and he wasn't hitting a lick.
And he seemed to hold the bat. It was in an odd way where he's kind of holding it back a little bit, but it also seemed like he kept it there. You see some batters, like Jason Kipnis, has a weird stance where he does that. He has the bat angled backwards,
mm-hmm.
but then once the pitcher gets ready to deliver, he brings it up to a more normal spot.
Right.
Yeah, it certainly seemed like Randall Grichuk was searching for a comfortable way to hit, and it never looked natural.
Mm-mm.
This year, that is. I don't remember him hitting like that the last couple years necessarily.
It seems like there's fewer and fewer really odd batting stances now from what there used to be years ago. I mean, there used to be a lot of people stood up there vastly different than the next guy.
Julio Franco.
Pete Rose was different.
Mickey Tettleton.
You have Musial, Rod Carew. You're probably not old enough to remember Dick McAuliffe of the Tigers.
Oh, sure.
what a bizarre stance. You had Stargell whipping the bat around and Joe Morgan flapping his back arm. And you had lots of people with very distinct batting styles. And today, they all go up there looking pretty much alike.
Cookie cutter. Yep.
Who has the most distinct batting style in the current Major League Baseball?
Maybe Pujols.
Yeah.
Comes to mind.
He's got the elbow up.
Right.
There's not many other.
You got one, Plowsic?
Ichiro, maybe.
Ichiro.
They got to be superstars to stand out, really. There
Chipness
might be.
Does have a weird start to his swing. He's a pretty good player.
Yeah.
There are 91 or 95 municipalities. Doug, you've lived here a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard of Champ, Missouri?
Champ. Is that in the St. Louis
with
area?
A P or a T? Chant or Champ?
Champ. I didn't want to throw you up for a loop.
It's got to be North County somewhere, tiny North County.
Champ is a village in St. Louis County, Missouri. The population in 2010.
Okay. 12.
13.
Wow.
And they have their own city hall. Still in police force.
It's one family.
Champ was founded in 1959 by Billy Bangert.
Oh, Bangsy. Yeah.
A former track and field athlete.
Oh, could he ever run? He could pick him up and lay him down.
Who was once mayor of Berkeley, Mo. Mm-hmm. Bangert was the mayor of Champ for 18 years, and later he moved to California. Champ, Missouri, 13 folk in 2000.
I'm sure they rely.
Are they counting him moving, though? So is it 12 now?
They're still on
the
list.
If he moved.
What I like is population 2010 says total 13. Estimate. 13.
That's a tough one to estimate.
Does it have them listed there in terms of population, the biggest? Because I'm thinking Florissant maybe the biggest, or Chesterfield.
I was going to say Chesterfield.
Chesterfield's at 46 and change. Baldwin 31 and change. So it's Chesterfield, and then we get to Florissant's 51,000.
So Florissant's still the biggest.
Florissant is still the biggest. Big area, too.
That's a big town, 51. Yeah. That's as big as, almost as big as Columbia, Missouri, without the college kids in there.
Big town. And then don't forget, I believe Champ is the smallest, but also very tiny, and there's only a tiny amount of people that can afford it, Country Life Acres.
Oh, I love Country Life Acres. That's like 80, one street, isn't it?
81 folk.
Yeah, it's like one big circular street of multimillionaires.
Nice spot, right?
Yeah, if you could pick a position A for where you'd really
you
like
might
to live,
go to
it could be that.
Country Life Acres.
Yeah. It's right off Clayton Road, isn't it?
It's a good spot.
Yeah.
Doug, a couple
more.
I've
been invited there before.
Yeah, you've been invited there?
Right, but
I thought you said indicted.
No, that's coming later.
Okay.
Doug just wanted to say indicted
right.
So we could talk about Hillary. Go ahead.
Oh.
Go ahead, Doug. You have a couple minutes before the end of the hour.
That's not. I thought he said I've been indicted there.
Speaking of indictment,
the rules apply to us little folk, not to the Clintons. No, you go ahead, John.
Speaking of indictment, I would say that the Pirates, if they would have taken 4 of 4 from the Cardinals, Jay, that would have been an indictment on the Cardinals' record this year and really their performance. But because Waino threw a gem. He said he felt good the entire game on the mound, so let's hear from Waino.
Oh, hit the lever, Plowsy.
I expect to go 9 every time, to be honest with you, but today I really wanted to push it as long as I possibly could. You know, it was a tough team over there. They have a great lineup. They have guys that work counts, and so you knew you had to be ahead in the count and get the ball on the ground early on, and we were able to do that. Yadier called a great game, and I was clicking. First time all year I heard the music, so...
The Bee Gees playing.
The music's back.
Playing disco music from the Bee Gees. How great is that?
I wonder what Diaz thinks of that.
That never goes away. People ridicule disco music. Like, oh, what a horrible time. And they're still
always there.
Still playing it today.
Yep.
A lot of Bee Gees, but there's also a lot of Latin music that is played in the clubhouse as we're doing our interviews there. Sometimes it's so loud.
Yeah.
You have to put the microphone so close to the dude. Just because otherwise you're going to pick up so much ambient noise.
Right.
You're going to be able to hear the song.
Right.
Sometimes it might be a hip-hop song where there's some curse words.
Sure.
And you kind of have to selectively
say...
That
was a big problem a few years ago in the postseason. Yeah. Every time they'd win, they would put the rap on or something really loud, and it was full of F-bombs and everything else. You couldn't run half the interviews we did.
Mm.
Finally, rounding out the fun with audio, Cardinals edition, Doug. We have Stephen Piscotty who's on my fantasy team. I have a big matchup with the non-gay this current week. I'm winning a close one. Piscotty hits the ball out. You think, though, it bounces back in, and maybe it's a double. They review it. Three-run homer, his 11th of the year, the Pisco kid.
Hit the lever, bro.
Excellent, especially when we really needed a dominant performance to let the offense relax, and we got those runs up there eventually. But that's what a big time player does, is come in and kind of stop the bleeding.
That was a Stephen Piscotty talking about Waino's performance on the mound.
Did
we'll take a break.
Did you come up with this Pisco kid? Is that yours?
I mean, it's not like it's a really clever name.
No, but did you think of that?
A lot of people have said that.
Oh, I
don't know who first coined it.
Yeah, you're the first one I've heard, Chuck.
I've heard two good nicknames today, the Pisco Kid and Million Dollar Baby for Tim.
Million Dollar Baby, I think, I'm telling you, that.
I'm not sure he wants it.
No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's sticking. I guarantee you we'll have five emails referencing
the Million Dollar Baby.
Million Dollar Baby. All right, hour number one. It's been a good one. We got two more coming up. We got Ben Fredrickson of the Post-Dispatch and the Writer's Block. Coming up next, talking Cardinals baseball and a whole lot more on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on CBS Sports 920, InsideSTL.com, and 105.7 HD2.